It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? It's a great day to study the Word of God as each and every day is. As you would please open your Bibles to John chapter 6, we're going to read from the verse 62, actually verse 61, down through the end of the chapter to 71. So please that you would open your Bibles to John chapter 6, verse 61 through 71. While you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. It's always good to have you along as we study the Word of God, and we spend the time that we have together doing just that. So I hope that you have your Bibles open now. John chapter 6, we're going to begin reading with verse 61. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, and the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore, said I unto you, no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? And he spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Let's begin with prayer after the reading of his precious word. Father, we thank you today that we can come. Please that you do a work in each one of our hearts, that we come to know you as our Lord and Savior, and then begin this walk each and every day depending upon you. As this world continues to change, we find every day that there is really nothing that we can depend on that's sure other than you. And so I thank you that we know that. And Father, help us to spread the good news, the gospel of death, burial, and resurrection to a lost and dying world that does not know that, does not have that security and that joy of knowing Jesus and knowing him as their Savior and walking with them and trying so much and so hard to get what they want and yet failing so miserably. Please, Lord, help us to bring this wonderful news that Jesus saves to those folks, that they will, whether they're rich or poor, whatever their name may be, whatever the color of their skin might be, it doesn't matter, Lord. They all need Jesus, and we want to bring that to them. So help us as believers to do that. And Father, if there's those, and I know there are many that are listening that do not know you as their Savior, please that they'll listen today and come. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have looked at these verses of Scripture, and we're not going to spend much time with the above verses down to verse 60, 64, 65. But I want to read them once again so you can recall, you know, from one time to the next why there is so many things going on that we have to review just a little bit. And when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, and he said unto them, Doth this offend you? The things that were becoming an offense to these people is that he was talking about his death, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord of himself, of the Lord Jesus. But it spoke of the whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And so right there we have the death, burial, and resurrection. And please, as we've studied this the last couple of times that we've been together, we have are very much aware that it is a spiritual problem, and it is not saying that to take part of his flesh or part of his blood physically, and we know that according to the verse 63, it is a spirit that quickeneth the flesh, it profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. The words that I speak unto you, and it's so important that we listen so carefully to the Word of God. Well, many times the Word of God offends folks, and that's the reason that they decided that it would be better to change the Word of God and to compromise a little bit instead of staying with the truth, following after the truth, and listening so carefully to the truth, and then abiding by it. Instead of that, why, let's alter the truth. Let's change it just a little bit, and that way I can agree with you and you can agree with me, and these much of the word, it doesn't really matter anyway, so I'll just kind of forget this part, and just because we disagree a little, I'm not going to make it an issue. We should stand upon the Word of God. And if that offends folks, it offends folks. And we have had many people in and out of this church through the years, as the years that I have been here, and they do not like, many do not like the Word of God. They do not like the truth. And so they go someplace else. And I'll be honest with you, there's an awful lot of places where they can go and do not have to listen to the truth. And so they can go and they can sit comfortably and they can say, I'm going to church, and they feel good about it. And this is even believers. And my friend, don't ever, ever leave the truth. Don't compromise. And so I beg you to not do that as a believer. And if you're not saved, you're going to stay that way. You're going to stay lost unless you come to the truth and have an opportunity to listen to the truth. Don't leave it. Even Jesus himself could see that these folks were having problems with what he was saying. Are these too hard? Is this a hard saying? Who can hear it was the question. And please that you listen to the truth and then abide by the truth. And don't, just because you don't like it, just because it doesn't quite meet into your lifestyle, please don't just set it aside and say, well, that doesn't apply today. There are so many today that are walking contrary to the Word of God, and they're not paying any attention to it. There's church after church that you can see. They have changed the Word of God, and I hope that you're not a part of that, and I hope that you would listen very carefully here. It continues, it is the Spirit that quickeneth the flesh, the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. That's it, the truth, the Word of God. So don't let anybody, if you find something in the Word of God that's contrary to your church, then you go to your preacher and find out why. Well, it just doesn't apply. Yes, it does. Now, there are different dispensations through the Word of God. There are things that are of spirit, things that are physical. You need to discern those. And it's very easy to do that. It's not difficult to know that it's talking to the Jews here. It's talking to the Gentiles there. You can't do that just by casually or leisurely reading the Word of God, but you can by studying the Word of God by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Of course, that takes for you to know Jesus and be saved first. So please come to Him today and be saved. As we look to verse 64, but there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray Him. Jesus knows the heart. Jesus knows the mind. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're saying, and he knows it continually. And he said to these people, I know that many of you don't believe. And these were the Jews. Many folks today don't believe either. And then in verse 65 he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. And we've talked about this many times, how that the Holy Spirit, by the calling of the Father, God the Father, sends the Holy Spirit to touch the heart, and then the heart is convicted of the sin. And whenever that heart is convicted, then there's a decision that needs to be made. Will I come to Jesus as my Savior because of this convicting power, or will I turn away? And many people, that's when they choose not to trust in the truth and walk away from it. And so we find the same thing takes place in verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Calls them disciples. They had followed him. They had listened to his teaching. And for quite a period of time. But you see that the people wanted something different than what Jesus had come to give. Jesus has come to give life and life eternal. Jesus has come that we may have our sins taken away and forgiven. I believe these people wanted something different than that. These people wanted a king. These people wanted a leader. And they wanted this leader to come, move in, take control, and set them free. Take them away from the Roman rule, that they would no longer be in bondage to them, and set them free. We are the Jews, and if you are our Savior, our Messiah, our King, then you have come to save us. They saw no spiritual need. They saw only a physical need to get us out from under this Roman rule. And they believed that he was coming to do that. Now there's a time that he is going to come and he's going to set his kingdom up, but that not now. Not at this time. Not 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago he came to seek and to save those that are lost. Is Jesus the same to you? Is he not what you want? You don't think that you have a spiritual problem, that you're spiritually dead in your trespasses and sins. You don't believe that. So you're looking for something different. And so you see, if that's the case, then you'll want to move away from the church that preaches the truth, the preacher that preaches the truth. You'll want to get away from that. Because as the truth is preached, the heart is convicted. As the heart is convicted, there needs to be a decision made. And that decision is that you need to confess your sin and come to Jesus. But I don't want that. These people here did not see their need. Maybe you don't either. Even though they were with Jesus, and they walked with Jesus, and they talked with Jesus, and they listened to Jesus. They listened to his teaching. They watched his healing. They watched so many things that Jesus did, and yet they missed the very purpose he'd come to earth for, and that's to save us. They missed it. You can miss it just the same way. And how you miss it is exactly what they did. They stopped following Jesus because they did not. What did we talk about? This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Is that something that you're saying? Are you in a Bible-preaching, soul-winning church? But you don't like it. And so you're beginning to murmur, and you're beginning to talk to some of the other people that attend, and you're beginning to complain about the preacher because he's preaching something that you don't like. Well, why don't you like it? Don't you like it because it is the truth, and it's convicting your heart, and you don't like that? Or don't you like it because the preacher's done that? The preacher has left the truth. And you want the truth. Now, if that's the case, my friend, prayerfully speak to that man. Talk clearly to him and ask him how and why he is proclaiming something contrary to the Word of God, why he's not preaching the gospel, why people aren't being saved. Why aren't you telling us the truth? Why aren't you spending time with us in Bible study? Why aren't you teaching us the Word of God? Well, if he says that, that's not, we don't believe it that way. Well, neither did these people. They did not believe it that way. Well, that doesn't take it away from being the truth, just because you don't believe it, because it is the truth. You can go on. You stir up a little trouble wherever you're at if the truth is being preached and you don't like it, and you just go on. But if it's the other way and the preacher's not preaching the truth and you're beginning to realize it, approach that man, and if he doesn't want to change, and go back to the Word of God and proclaim the Word of God to that church, then you need to move on. You need to move to another place, another fellowship, where they do preach and teach the truth. Search it out, my friend. That's what you need to do. It's so sad today as we look to the church for spiritual leadership, and the only thing it is a social club. That's all it's there. They don't preach the Word of God. They preach social justice that needs to be taken place. They do not preach the gospel, saved by grace, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, please come. They don't preach that clear, sweet message. They talk about all the things that are wrong in the world and how we need to take care of the global warming and how we need to do this and take care of that. No, we need to take care of our relationship with God. And the only way we can do that is to come by faith with Jesus, to Jesus, and we need to look to His Word to do that. And we found earlier that this word was too hard for them to hear. Jesus says, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life." And you need to come to Jesus and be saved. Please, that you listen very carefully to the Word of God. We know from that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. And oh, we've got church after church that doesn't preach the Word. And the whole group, preacher and all, does not proclaim the truth because they didn't want to hear it. Then Jesus said unto the 12, "Will ye also go?" The question comes, will you also go away? Do you desire to go away? Are you ready to leave me? Do you want to go? That's what He was asking these disciples. The twelve that's left, is this multitude left. And it's very sad as you preach the truth. You would think that if you stood upon the Word of God and the truth was preached, that they would just come by the hundreds and thousands to hear that. But you see, the heart's wicked. The heart is evil. And the heart does not desire something of God. And many times we have a choice. Everyone has a choice to make. And if you decide that you don't want to hear that, God does not force it upon you. God gives you a free opportunity. And He does it all. But you have to turn to Him. And if you don't turn to Him, then that's your choice to stay away. Well, you're going to burn in the lake of fire eternally. You're going to separate yourself from God completely by you choosing not to come to Jesus. And there's a multitude here that did turn away. And Jesus asked the question of the 12, "Will you do the same?" And it is sad. And many times when folks that you worked besides in the church, and all of a sudden they decide they didn't want that word anymore, they didn't want the truth anymore, and they left, they did not believe that the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the sweet precious blood, is real and is important, and that the death, the burial, the resurrection, the life of the Lord Jesus, the coming by faith to Him, to trust in Him, to look at immersion for baptism that gives a beautiful picture of what's happened in your heart after you're saved. All these things and a multitude of other doctrines of the Word of God we must stand upon and stay with. Instead of that, my friend, it's so sad. It's such a mess today in our churches because the gospel's not preached. The truth is not told. Many, many times, my friend, it's so sad as we hear the folks leaving a good Bible preaching church and going to a wicked, self-centered country club. But they still got church written on the top. If the gospel isn't preached, get out. If folks aren't being saved, get out. If the truth is not told, get out. And find a place where it is, very clearly and very carefully. Jesus wanted to know. He made it very clear as well. If you're going to leave, then He turned to the other group, and the group of the 12, the close ones to Him, and says, "Are you going to leave too? Are you going to give up too? Are you going to walk away from me? Let's look to see what one of the answers that was stated here. Verse 68. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Oh, to hear those words. To hear those words that say, yes, I want to listen to the truth. Where else am I going to go that I can hear the truth? There is nowhere to go. I'm going to stay right here. Even though it really hurts my heart sometimes because I hear something that I don't like, I know it's true and I know it's your word and I'm not leaving. But no one can give what you're giving, Jesus. So I'm staying right here because I want the truth from you. I want it right from your mouth. And the only way that can be is if we read the word and stay with the word and let the Holy Spirit touch our hearts and listen to him. We need to trust in you, Lord Jesus. We need to receive you, Lord Jesus. Please, we need to feed upon you, Lord Jesus. And that's what should come from the mouth of everyone, every believer. I want the truth. And then when we would begin with the believers proclaiming that and not tolerating this liberal mess that's being told, and I'm not even going to tell them it's being preached, because that's not preaching. That's not telling of the gospel. That's not telling of the word of God and proclaiming it and preaching it like it should be. All it is a social club. They come together and they get this group and this social group together and, oh, we have so much fun. Well, to hell you go with all the fun. I ask you, my friend, to turn your eyes upon Jesus and go back to the truth. Peter had a beautiful answer. And to Jesus he said it. Where else can we have life? Look at that. Isn't that beautiful? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. There is no one else that can give what you give. Why would I want to turn away? Please, my friend, that we look to the same. Why do I want to turn away where I'm being fed? Why do I want to turn away that I will not hear the word of God? Because it's sin. And you love your sin more than you love God. That's the reason you're in that liberal church. You love your sin more than you love God. It's just that simple. Simon Peter was so excited with his answer that he said something else here in the next verse, and it says, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. What sweet words. You know, you ask most people in church today, why do they go to church? Well, we're supposed to. They don't say, I go to church because I have been born again, and I love the feeding of the word, and my preacher preaches me the truth, and so I'm enjoying it, and I know the Lord Jesus. I know He is God. I know He is Savior. And He is my Messiah, and I have trusted in Him. What did it say down here? We believe and are sure that Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what Peter said. Beautiful statement. Peter believed it with all his heart. But he said something here he wasn't as sure of as he thought. He used that little two-letter word, we. We believe and are sure. Well, he wasn't. Because you see, as he looked around, Peter didn't know the heart. Jesus knows your heart. And so as a preacher, I need to be so careful in continually giving out the gospel. Every time we come together, the gospel needs to be presented. The death, burial, and resurrection. So that every time we come together, that if there be anyone there that does not know Jesus as their Savior, that they will feel that calling and know how to be saved, please come. All you need to do is come by faith and trust in Him. It's something so simple to do. But you see, we get our group together, and this is what happens in church after church after church. It could happen here just as well. I can look out there and think everyone here is saved. They've been coming here for a long time, and their lives are changing and everything. So I know that they're believers, every one of them. I'm not going to waste the gospel on these people because they don't need it, because they all know Jesus as their Savior. Well, there's a problem with that because I do not know the heart of every person that's sitting out there. You know, I don't even know the heart of one of those people that's sitting out there. I can't see in the heart. I can't even get into their head and see their thoughts. I know my heart. But that's all I truly and completely know, is my heart and what I believe and what I know to be true. And I know that Jesus is my Savior. He has come into my heart. He has saved me. I met Him halfway between the house and the Pharaoh house out on the farm. I got down on my knees and I asked Jesus to come into my heart and save me, and He did. And I have been a born-again believer ever since. I followed Him in baptism, spiritual baptism, scriptural baptism. I went down into the water. It pictures the death. Come up out of the water, picturing the resurrection. And that's what I have in Jesus, is the new life. No power with the baptism, no saving power, but it's the first command God gives us, and so we need to follow it. I did. He gave a beautiful picture to those that witnessed that. I love serving and walking after the Lord Jesus. It's great to serve the Lord Jesus. I know Him in my heart. But as I look out there, I don't know if he is saved. I don't know for sure that she's saved. They talk the talk. They walk the walk. So I believe that they are. But I don't know for sure. So you see, every time we come together, I present to each individual that's here the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. Because I don't want them to leave. Just because I thought they were saved, I do not want them to leave without having an opportunity, once again, to come to Jesus. So please, that you don't take for granted that the folks that you're around, because they seem to walk right and they seem to talk right and they always go to church, do not take the understanding, the assumption that that person is saved. You come to them. You know them, you love them, you ask them, do you know Jesus as your Savior? Have you ever personally accepted Jesus as your Savior? And if they become offended and they stop following with you and going with you, you kind of got your answer, didn't you? But if they're saved, they will confess as, yes, here's where I met Jesus. And I love walking with the Lord Jesus. He is my Savior. He is my Lord. And I praise God the Father that for the opportunity to come. I've confessed my sin and I walk with Him. Now, all those words are proper and all those words are right, but still can't see into your heart. Peter couldn't either, and he missed something here. Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go that thou hast the words of eternal life? And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. But Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? Peter didn't know that, did he? Judas Iscariot was so good at lying that he deceived the other 11, but he did not deceive Jesus. See, Jesus doesn't just bring one in because he's part of the group. So if you think you've joined the church and there's other believers there, so you're good enough, or all of your family are born-again believers and you're not, but that's good enough, you better take a look at this. Because there's 11 here that are saved. But there's one that never received the word, never trusted in Jesus. His name's Judas. Think about that, my friend. So now, what are you going to do about Jesus?